Okay, 54 days in the Omer, and today's daf is daf Memhei. Memhei. So, let's do a little brief review for the poor suckers who make it in time. Yeah, it's very sad. So, we've had some very important yesodos laid here in the Dinim of Muktzeh. So far we've seen four different major shitas in the Dinim of Muktzeh, which we have to mark. You don't like it right on your face?
Right.
Oh.
You like it?
I mean, I'm just one person.
You like it?
No. Whatever you like.
Sure.
Let's try this again. All right, so we have four different shitas that we've met so far. We don't know all of the details yet of these shitas, but at least we've introduced certain concepts in the Mishnah. We had Muktzeh Machmas Mi'uz, which was the most evident aspect in the Mishnah, which is the Ner Yashan. And we had Muktzeh Machmas Isur, which is a ner that is dolek, and we've had a combination of the truth. We have a ner dolek that is also ma'us. It's not 100% clear whether there's that combination is the functional reason for the Yisro here, whether one would work without the other. We're going to need time to see that legabe all of the shitas. But so far what we discovered is that according to Rabbi Shimon, the only problem that we have is not with Mius at all. There is Bishat Maaseh, that the Nair is burning, and only then do we have an issue of Muktzeh, which apparently means something other than taking the Shemen in the Nair, because that would be also anyway, Midiraisa, because of Mechava, so he's got a separate Yisr. His son, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon, agrees with that, but doesn't even hold that there's another problem besides the mechaba. So if the ner was anyway sputtering out, according to Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shimon, it's now another shita, you would be allowed to actually take the shemen at that time. So that it's not even hukta, even while it's still burning. As long as there's no problem of a kibui.
He doesn't think that having less
wood
would make it even more sputter.
It won't make it even more sputter. If it would, it would be kibbutz.
Yeah, word for that position.
Rabbi Meir holds that you cannot be metaltan lechora, he talks about, even tiltul, just because of Isser being asur. So he says, ner shidliko bo b'shabbat, which means that he holds that there's a concept of an ongoing muktzeh, because even if the ner goes out, it remains asur, which is not true according to Rabbi Shimon. And then we have Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that you cannot be metaltel not for muktzeh machmas isur and not for muktzeh machmas mius. In the continuation of the Gemara, we also introduced a new concept, which was a basis of davar ha'asur. And the idea of something which is muktzeh ben hashmashot, kivad itkatzoi le ben hashmashot, itkatzoi le kol hayom kulo. And there we said that too, of course, is part of the machlokas Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon, in the case of the mechanism of the stagecoach and so on. So we had over there, if there was Moos that was on it beforehand, according to Rabbi Yehuda, would be usher the whole time. But the Braita, which is not, the Mishnah rather, which is not talking about like Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Shimon, it's only usher while it's actually on it. Then we introduced the idea of defining a kli as being set aside for a basis of davar ha'asur. So we had an idea called a money bet. Where over there, it's shayach that if you're koveya, it's usage before, and you also used it in such a fashion before, then even if currently it doesn't have anything on it, it remains miyuchad for that usage because you've set it aside. So that's a muktzeh which has been expressed in the kli, but which currently isn't evident in the kli. So it's your own determination as to usage which was actually followed through with an act, that can be kovia, a concept called a basis, or even in cases where it's not serving as a basis, as something that's miyukad and set aside not to use for its purpose on Shabbat. Interesting new idea. Now yesterday we claimed that Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda. The reason we had no choice but to claim that was because according to Rav, he said that if you had money that was on the bed, the entire Bein HaShemashot, then even if you hadn't defined it as such, but once it became Muktzeh for Bein HaShemashot, it became Muktzeh for the whole day. In order to answer the contradiction of the Mishnah of the stagecoach engine, we had to explain that one is going Rabbi Shimon, that a stagecoach was mutter as long as it's not on it at that point, whereas Rav apparently was going Rabbi Yehuda. He must hold of Rabbi Yehuda. And we proved that apparently yesterday by this difference that Rav makes between a ner that is going to be hung on a tree, which he says you mustn't hang it on a tree on Yom Tov, apparently because you'll come to take it on and off of the tree on Yom Tov, and you're not allowed to use a tree. So there it's aser. Mashenken on Shabbat, it's mutar. If Rav held of Rabbi Shimon, why would it be mutar? On Shabbat, you're also allowed, according to Rabbi Shimon, to remove the ner from the tree once it goes out. So it should have been the same. Must be there for the Rav holds of Rabbi Yehuda. So now Rav turns out to be consistent in this. The problem is that today we see an inconsistency in Rav. Ask the Gemara, the Rav ki Rabbi Yehuda, we're one-fifth of the way down here. The Rav ki Rabbi Yehuda, Sfirale. Does Rav indeed hold of Rabbi Yehuda? V'hobo minei de Rav, ma'o leteltule shraga de chanukata, mikama chavari b'shabbat. Are you allowed to move a Hanukkah menorah that has gone out and there are chavarim around? We know that these chavarim, we learned before that they were Zoroastrians, they didn't allow people to light fires in their own rishuyos if it was a worship day. And so you could get into a lot of trouble. Now, it wasn't a sakanat nefashot. I mean, obviously, if it was, there was nothing to ask. But you could get yourself a stiff fine, and it was unpleasant. So they wanted to know if you could take your Hanukkah menorah after it goes out and bring it indoors so that nobody would see it. V'amalahu, so Rav answered them, Shapir dami, it's okay. Well, what do you mean it's okay? It's only okay according to Rabbi Shimon? I thought you said Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda. No, I mean, it's not a regular case, is it? Sha'at ha'tchak, shiny, in a place where there's some element of risk. Over there he was martyred, Yomali Rivkana Ravatsil Rav. In fact, if you want to know, there was a follow-up story to that psak. Rivkana Ravasi asked Rav, what? Okay, Yogata, that's not lucky, you're allowed to move a Hanukkah menorah on Shabbat. A mile away, what's the big deal? Kedayu Rabbi Shimon, the smoke of Rishat Atchak. You have a sheet of Rabbi Shimon, you can't rely on Rabbi Shimon's sheet where it's such a pressure. Okay, so apparently it was only because it was a Shat Atchak. Enochinami. Normally, he would have passed it like Rabbi Yehuda, which is what he did in the two occasions that we spoke about yesterday, that you're allowed to light a Shabbos candle and hang it on a tree, because once it's lit, even when it goes out, you're not going to use it anymore, and therefore you won't come to be Mishamish with the Ilan on Shabbos. And the other halakha, which was consistent with Rabbi Yehuda, was his din of basis, that where you left money on something, you can't move that thing if it was there during the Bein HaShemashot.
It's a common phrase, Kedayu Rabbi Shimon?
Yeah. Boy, I mean, Reish Lakish from Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish wanted to clarify from Rabbi Yochanan what we've seen so far in Rabbi Shimon is that situations where an act was done that would set aside a nair, we saw that he held that does not koveya that you can't use it the rest of the day. We also saw that the fact that something is mo'uz is also not kaveh that you can't use it, even immediately. But the question is, in both of those cases, nothing active was done which implied that you were finished permanently from using this thing. Because, again, on Shabbat, in a case where you had used a ner that was in a kara, where there was a lot of oil, we said that over there, Lamaisa, you weren't going to come back to using it. So that obviously it's not all that simple. Even if it went out, there's some element of mukta that Rabbi Shimon agreed to. That was evident yesterday. Now my question is this. The things that he agreed to are things that Lamaisa are currently unusable, correct? How about in an inverse situation? Something which is currently usable, but you had in mind, obviously, through what you did, never to think about them again. Classic case being, you took seeds, you scattered them on the ground. Now your intent is that those seeds should germinate and sprout. You are certainly not going to go around there and pick up the seeds now and decide you're going to eat them. On the other hand, there's nothing at all that's not roy about them. They haven't yet taken root. You just did it 5 minutes ago. Oh yeah, the seeds that are in the yard. Now you suddenly remember on Shabbos, your parakeet, you ran out of parakeet food. Can you pick up the seeds and feed it to your parakeet? So there the Shaila is. Can we also say that according to Rabbi Shimon, there is such a thing as an act of muktzah on a dover haraui? That there is an act of muktzah on a dover she'eino ra'ui, such as a ner, which is dolek, in a case where it has a lot of shemen in it, like the lantern case we had yesterday. We already know that Rabbi Shimon holds this concept called muktzah. When he says, I don't hold a muktzah, all we've seen is he doesn't hold a muktzah machmat isur, and he doesn't hold a muktzah machmat mi'uz. But he certainly agrees that there is a type of muktzah in which you could be mikatzet midatcha for the purposes of isur. Is it also possible to be mikatzet midatcha, even though it's completely usable, but because the circumstances you've decided, I'm going to use this to sprout, and not for my parakeet. So my question is, chitim shezar'an bekarka, and obviously zar'an bekarka doesn't mean literally zar'an bekarka, because I mean, then you're not allowed to take them out on Shabbat because it's chilul Shabbat. What we mean is you scattered them on the karka. Now, they would take root if they stayed there a few days. But it's only 5 minutes. Nothing much has happened. And besides, you've been watching. Nothing will happen while you watch, you know. So there's the question is, can I pick them up again? Or, beitzim shetachat ha-tarnagolet. I set these eggs up underneath my tarnagolet. I'm interested that they should hatch, and therefore we're waiting, basically, for my incubator to hatch. Certainly, so far, there's nothing wrong with these eggs. They're only 5 minutes old. I mean, I could certainly go and eat them. But it's Shabbos now. Do I have a dinner muktzah and a davar roi? Mao. Yeah. So, ki letle l'Rabbi Shimon muktek lo dake biyadai. Maybe the only time that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't agree to a concept of, Rabbi Shimon doesn't agree to a concept of muktzah, is where you didn't do anything to actively push this out of sight and out of mind. Now, you're not interested anymore. But however, if you actively put it aside in a way that is no longer going to be usable in your mind, maybe you would agree that there's such a thing as mukzah. Maybe he doesn't hold of the idea of mukzah at all. Omar lay, and Rab answered, Ein muktzah l'Rabbi Shimon, ela shemen shebener b'sha'ah shehu dolek. There's only one case of muktzah of Rabbi Shimon. That obviously doesn't mean there's only one case, because we know the case, the din in the ner is that it's muktzah even b'sha'ah she'eino dolek, in the case of hashashit. So as Rashi explains, the point over here is, Ein muktzah l'Rabbi Shimon in something that is currently roi to use. Because that was the only question that we were asking. And it's only in that particularly defined set that he's giving his answer, Rav. There is nothing that he would be included in such a set. There's only one case. The cases where you have a curious combination of factors. Because do we not have to take into consideration the fact, A, you set it aside, B, there was Isser involved, as long as it's being dole. And C, because it's a mitzvah, and their Shabbat is something that you set aside for a mitzvah, we know that there's a concept of Uksil mitzvasa. We've already seen that by the schach of a sukkah, or the decorations of a sukkah. I understand that that is a very special case, but don't compare that to a case where I scattered some seeds for planting. There's no mitzvah, there's no iser, there's only kitzui midaita nedover aroi. So if you yourself already know that the case that we've seen of Rabbi Shimon, which is the model case, is a case that contains so many additional factors, isn't it a little bit silly to ask, how about if I strip it of all those factors? Obviously, he's not going to hold him. He's katsuri alone unless he has these additional elements. Okay, so now we're introducing something new, which we mentioned briefly yesterday, and said that the Mishnah is tantalizing us by talking about this case because of the problem of huksul mitzvato. So therefore, says Rav, it's not tantalizing. That's the reality. Ein huksul Rabbi Shimon el Shemen shebener b'sha'ashu dolek. It should say here, vehuktsala isuro. This is a mistake. It's a error in which the printer brought in the girsa later on the daf, which says this for a very important reason. But here it means, since we have two different issues besides the fact that it's lit in the candle, and that is that it's dafka, this case, because of two issues. It's huksa la mitzvah, and it's huksa because of the yisr that I can't put it out. But mashma'ut is that had it only been one or the other, including huksa la mitzvah tov, there would have been no problem. That's the mashma'ut.
Isn't that
Rav's
Rav
Yochanan?
Rav Yochanan?
I'm sorry, I keep saying Rav?
Yeah.
Okay, you're fine. Asks the Gemara, no, wait a minute. So Rabbi Yochanan is implying now that if it was only Huktzel Mitzvato, that wouldn't be enough? Is that true? V'yatanya, Sichecha Kehilchata, getting to the case of the Sukkah. And by the way, once again I want to stress to you that the word Shemen Shebener, Tosfos goes out of his way to again stress the same thing. That Shemen Shebener cannot mean Shemen Shebener literally, because the Shemen Shebener would have been usher to use because of Kibui. I don't need to come on Huksa Mitzvaso, he's sure there's no Huksa. Bishleim, if you would tell me there's a Huksa that extends later on in the day, you could tell me there's another element. But Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold that, he holds only while it's the Huk. So it's not that there's no Huksa. Ella, the idea of here is even the shemen that was metaftef into the kara beneath it and so on, since that shemen had been set aside la mitzvato, therefore it remains asur. Now you're telling me that he doesn't hold a huksa la mitzvato alone, without any isurim involved. What about the case from Sukkah, where it says, sichachaki ilchata, you put up regular kosher tzchach on your sukkah, and then you decorate it. You decorate it with sheets. You decorate it with wall hangings. You decorate it with egozim, afarsikim, shkedim, rimonim, afarkalei shel anavim, atorot shel shibolim. Or you have little cups that have glass cups with, glass jars with wine or with oil. Or you have little baskets of solet. All of these things that you put up, even though they're perfectly edible, or they're perfectly usable for bedding, if you get an extra guest, you can't use them. A certainly stapek, ma'am, you're not allowed to use them even during Chol HaMoed. Ad motzei yom tov acharon, until the end of Sukkot. Ve'im hitzna, le'yem hakol lefi tzna'o. If, however, you made a tznai over there, the Gemara explains that tznai is, I any bodel me am kol bein hashvashot, I have in mind during the entire period of bein hashvashot that I may still take them down because I need them. So then, fine. Then it doesn't become mukta at the onset of the chag. So, isn't that true that Rabbi Shimon agrees Why are you assuming that goes according to Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Yochanan says, Rabbi Shimon only holds of muktzah in a case we have both muktzah b'machmas mitzvah and muktzah b'machmas isur, and it's currently burning. And you ask me from a case of sukkah, where first of all, I mean, it could be that right now it's no longer, I mean, the sukkah may have collapsed. It's no longer even up anymore. It's telling me I can't use it. So first of all, clearly, I mean, if it's hooked to Benash Mashot, it's hooked to the whole time. Over here, it was only hooked as long as it's burning. So that violates any element of Rabbi Shimon. Furthermore, there's no Isser involved. Why can't I? All I want to do is take a little cereal out, off of the wall that's in a basket. I can't do that. There's no Isser involved in that. So you're telling me that clearly shows Rabbi Yochanan is wrong. Well, you're right, if you could prove to me that this is Rabbi Shimon. But why in the world would you think that this is Rabbi Shimon? It seems to be so built around concepts of Bukta that it shouts Rabbi Yehuda from every nook and cranny. So, umimai the Rabbi Shimon, he asks the Gemara. Ah, because the Tani Rabbi Fia bar Yosef Kamed Rabbi Yochanan ain't notes lean eight seem in a sukkah beyond tov ela min a samuchla the Rabbi Shimon matir v'shavin besukat ha-chag be-chag shehi asura v'im hitna aleha hakol lefi hitna'o. Now here, Rabbi Yochanan himself was listening to the brisa that was being said over by Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef, in which he describes Rabbi Shimon Shita. So to take down etzim from the sukkah itself, which is what he's talking about, and it's during Yom Tov. This doesn't necessarily mean a sukkah of the Chag HaSukkot. I mean, a sukkah doesn't mean, a sukkah means from a patio covering. So you can't take it down on Yom Tov, but any Yom Tov, even if it's Pesach, you can't take it down. Shavuos, you can't take it down. This is true, even if there's no Isser involved. Obviously, we're not talking about a case where there's Isser. Where would there be no Isser involved? It blew off, or it collapsed, whatever. You don't have to do anything. You just want to lift it up and use it for something. You can't. But Rabbi Shimon is matir. However, he's maskin that if it's a sukkah shal mitzvah, if it's a sukkah sachag bechag, it says umodim, he's himself is made it to Rabbi Yehuda, that if it's Chag HaSukkot, that then it's Osir. Why is it Osir? If there's no Isser of Stira that's involved, why is it Osir? Because it's Hooks of the Mitzvato, right? So why did you say, Rabbi Yochanan, the only case is where it's Ukta, both the Mitzvato and the Isero? Here is Maskim, even though it was never Ukta, the Isero. How do you explain that? And it's the Gemara, all Rabbi Yochanan meant was ke'ein shemen shemener. He meant, I didn't say there's only one thing in this set. I didn't say that you need this unique combination of circumstances. What I said was that the cases in which it would be similar to shemen shemener, namely, because it's hooks of a mitzvato, it becomes, therefore, Hukta as an Isur. But there's no comparison to the case of the Sukkah, because when it comes to Shabbat itself, the mitzvah is only as long as the Ner is burning for Shabbat. So it's only Hukta for as long as it's going to be burning. Mashen Ken Sukkah, the mitzvah is Kol Shiva. So if the mitzvah is Kol Shiva, you can't say, well, I mean, but of course the Das was on it in order to you. Who said? Of course the problem is, why does it say, including Yom Tov Achron Shachar? That doesn't make sense. Bishlam, if you're all the Rebbe Yehuda, you could say, as we do, that since it remained Osir Bein HaShvashot, because Bein HaShvashot of Shmini Atzeret was still a Sofek of Sukkah. Right? Okay, so I'd still have to sit in the sukkah during that time. So at that point, it's Hukta L'mitzvato during Bein HaShemashot of Shmini Atzeret, in which case, according to Rabbi Yehuda, once something is Mukta Bein HaShemashot, it's Mukta the whole time. But Rabbi Shimon is Bedafka, the one who doesn't hold that. That's how we used Rabbi Shimon Shita to answer Rav yesterday about the stagecoach. That it was only while it was actually on it that remains awesome. That's the whole point of the Mishnah. Is that Rabbi Shimon does not hold of something that was Vuksaben HaShvashot. So how do you explain the end of the Mishnah over there at Sukkah? Where you're claiming, you bring a raya against Rabbi Yochanan, you say it's going like Rabbi Shimon, and it can't be going like Rabbi Shimon. You bring a raya from a different case that was going like Rabbi Shimon. It's an awfully strange way to do things. And Tosa says, indeed, that we have no choice but to say that last little addendum, the Yom Tov HaAchron Shel Chag, was not part of the original statement, which was Aliba to Rabbi Shimon, and indeed is put in afterwards, according to those sheets, all like Rabbi Yehuda. That if you're all like Rabbi Yehuda, by the way, this would be true, Afilo B'Yom Tov HaAchron Shel Chag. But how could we justify Shmini Atzeres answering decorations because of Ben HaShvashot, Aliba to Rabbi Shimon? Fine. So therefore, it turns out, and now you see, we Bedapka took out the Vav, that's the whole thing. Before we thought that it was saying, Hoel v'uktzala mitzvato v'uktzala isuro. So we have a unique combination. Where are you going to find something like that? So then we ask, what do you mean? Sukkah doesn't have that unique combination, still aser. Answers, oh, I didn't mean a unique combination. I meant one leads to the other. The fact that it's v'uktzala mitzvato means that we have to take the fact while it's burning that it should remain usher because of that mitzvah very seriously. Now, remember that for the problem of huktzala mitzvato, there would be no isur, as Tosfos points out, of moving this limb. Because huktzala mitzvato, remember, for sukkah, in other words, why do we need huktzala isuro here at all? You're telling me it's like sukkah. So then the sukkah is no huktzala isuro. It's cholamoy. What's huktzala isuro? Says Tosis, what do you mean? If it wasn't huktzala isuro, how would the mitzvah of Ner Shabbat, what's the point of the mitzvah of Ner Shabbat? Shalom bayit, the whole deal, Shabbat's supposed to be beautiful, isn't it? Exactly. That's precisely why I will move my menorah to where I'm going. That's not a violation of a huktzala mitzvah, so that's the best use of it for huktzala mitzvah. To tell me that I won't use the oil in it for something else, very nice. But why can't I move it from place to place? So I have my little battery burner, let me go from place to place with it. I don't understand. The doctor want to do that because it's Shabbos. So the sukkah, which by definition is kavua, and that's how I have to use it, by being in the sukkah. So over there it's huktza, and the sense I can't take and use it for something else. But when I would move this lamp on Shabbos, I'm using it for its mitzvah. I'm not talking about drinking its oil. Therefore, I need to explain to you that there's also other elements involved here, are they not? So, legabi that, there would be an issur of tiltul as well. Oh, that's a different issue, the Shema Yechaber. Again, Tosis would make that distinction. For that, I'd have to take a look at the what's in the Ka'ara. But even what's in the car, why can't I move it? What am I doing? Am I taking it away from its mitzvah? I'm not doing anything against the mitzvah. My shaking by circuit, I'm sleeping on the sheets, I'm using it against the mitzvah. Interesting how this is sort of just breaking open, you know. You see all these like smaller and smaller distinctions becoming evident as you go along. So, now, Amr Rebbe Yehuda Amr Shmuel in Muktzel Rebbe Shimon El Gro Grot V'Tzimukim Dovat. Here's an interesting statement. The only thing that's Muktzel Rebbe Shimon is raisins. What is this referring to? Well, it turns out that there is an additional case. Remember, this all started with the question of the chitin that you scattered in on the field or in your yard. So it was an intent to have them germinate. What was interesting over there was that we considered the possibility that Aliba Rebbe Shimon, even though no isur at all is involved, the kitsui minadat was sufficient to create a situation of mutza, and we were told for that. Rabbi Yochanan said, no. You need elements of mitzvah. But there's an interesting additional element, which is the making of raisins, or the making of figs, dried figs. Because actually what you do over there is, you set it aside in the sun, but when it's set aside in the sun, when it stays in the sun for a while, it goes through a stage in which it's not edible. It's just like rotted until it dehydrates completely. So there you're introducing yet an additional point. To say I was just mikatze midati, because I decided I want to wait till it dries. Okay, so now I changed my mind. Now I don't want to wait till it dries. Who's to tell me that I can't change my mind? If, however, says Reish Lakish, it's going to go through a stage in which I won't be able to change my mind because it's disgusting to eat. So over there, the act of putting it aside in the sun is more than just a mental act. It's actually taking it out of the realm of Oakland. And at that point, even though it hasn't been ruined yet, it's still considered to be out of mind completely. Even I'll leave it to Rabbi Shimon.
Sorry? It should be that way even without Kabbalah. If you didn't set aside, it happened to be there and it got to that stage.
Why is that different than Mo's? Lee Mo's. And if you do find a use? In other words, we haven't seen, according to Rabbi Shimon, we haven't defined a mutzu machmat gufo without itkatsoi. I'll leave it to Rabbi Shimon yet. Right? In other words, Rabbi Shimon doesn't say you can't use a stone. You're saying it's like a stone. But what's wrong with a stone? Over here, it's because of the fact that you set it aside. Therefore, it becomes the equivalent of what we call a mutzu machmat gufo. We'll have to see what happens to Rabbi Shimon in these cases. So there, again, so what he's saying is, given that you open now the mind to the shayla of something usable, a usable foodstuff, and you want to know whether it would be considered to be a mukta, let me tell you something. There is a case like that, but only one. Grogrog for tzimukim. And over there, it's because of the fact that it's going to be going through this stage. Are you saying only grogrog for tzimukim? I mean, you say only grogrog for tzimukim. By the way, Tosus asks earlier that it's rather strange that Rabbi Yochanan should have answered that the only case which is similar is Shemen Shebener. I mean, why didn't he throw in the Gorgor Petzimukim? Difficult to believe that he argues on Reish Lakish. I mean, we never saw Machloket about this. What's more, I mean, isn't it more similar to Gorgor Petzimukim? And it's basically when you throw the chit, right now they're edible. When they take root and they become now proto chita, so over there they're not going to be edible, right? So the same thing is the tzimukim. You put the grapes aside. Right now they're edible. They're going to be going through an inedible stage. Seems that would be the better comparison than to talk about Shemen Shemener, where nothing's going to happen to it when the fire isn't burning it. He leaves that question sort of hanging, because it seems to be more similar to that. There's no mitzvah, there's no iser. I mean, why do you have to introduce a case where you've got these new elements in it, where you have a case of achila, literally a case of achila, and then you can bring out, listen here, the difference is that over there, you set it aside for this event to take place in the sun. That, yes. But over here, why? Who's to say that you were Makatsit Midatcha meanwhile? Esther Gemara, but wait, you're saying only Grogrot Vitzimuki, Midi Akrin alone? I mean, it says over here, Tanya, Haya Ochel B'Te'inim. So, guy's eating figs. Go here, and he leaves some over. He decides he's going to make dried figs out of it. Or he's eating anavim. And he doesn't have any more appetite. Vote here. He takes it up to the roof. לעשות מהם סימוקים. לא יאכל עד שיזמין. He can't eat them anymore until he's mazmin them, particularly for achila, when they become now royal achila. V'chein, and in other words, even if, let's say, by next Shabbos they're ready to eat, but he wasn't mazmin them before Shabbos to eat, so by Shabbos afternoon he decides, ah, look, they're ready, let me go up and eat some. He can't eat them. V'chein ataomer, and by the way, the same thing is true about afarsikim, chavushim, u'b'shar kol minei peirot. Now, these cases, afarsikim, chavushim, these things do not go through that middle stage in which they're not roy. I mean, they may not be nice, but they're certainly not completely mid-cool cow before they dry. You're drying apples. The apples are still edible, even though they're not completely dry. So now, money. Let me ask you something. Who is the author of that? I mean, it can't be Rabbi Yehuda, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's obvious. I don't need. I mean, according to Rabbi Yehuda, my hechra lo dach yebi yadayim eat like muktza. According to Rabbi Yehuda, muktza is muktza even when it's muktza all on its own and you didn't do anything. Over here, it specifies you decided to take it up to the roof and put it on the roof to dry. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you don't need for you to decide anything. He holds just the opposite. It has to be minamufan. It has to be something that you bedavka set aside to use. Why would it have to have that you set it aside?
But to put it aside on Shabbos?
No. Before. So he holds itlay muktzah. Obviously, if you set it aside, I mean, what's the point of telling me this big fish? It's got to be true. I live in Rabbi Shimon. That's the point. So in other words, according to Rabbi Shimon, what it's saying over here is dechia biyadayim. Even though lamaisa, it doesn't necessarily become a useless in between, is sufficient to aser. So why does Reish Lakish not see that? Says Gemara, no, it's actually Rabbi Yehuda. You'll say, what's the point? I mean, isn't it obvious? No, it's not, because we need the case here, because it says he was eating. Haya ochel, he was sitting and eating. So since it says haya ochel, that's the chiddush aliba the Rebbe Yehuda. It's trichale. Saka daita chamina, kiven de ka'achil, the azil, loli boy hazmana. I mean, I might think that, look, I mean, the guy over here is sitting and eating. Simameela, you know, I mean, he put some away. Isn't it very common, anybody who's put his fruit back in the fridge, he's got his little plate of fruit. And after he finishes the plate, he decides to go back to the fridge, takes him out of the fridge, and adds him to the plate. So he thought he was finished. Turns out he wasn't finished. Well, what's that understand? So in this case, basically, he did the equivalent of putting him in the fridge, because he knows they were going to rot if he leaves him in the house. So he takes him up to the roof to dry out. Okay, so now he decides he wants to eat more. So what's so bad about that? So I might think, I'll leave it to review that, that's considered to be not mukta. Because Adarab, it only went there in the middle of his eating, and he changed his mind, he wants more now that it's Shabbos. What's wrong? So maybe lowly boy Azmanad. I don't need Azman in that case. I was just setting it aside for the middle of a meal. Kamash Malan, Kivan the Halan Lagag, Asuchi Azfi Ladai Teminai. Therefore comes to tell me, I'll leave it to review that. Even though it's not mitkalkel, like quince or like peach. So, nonetheless, once he's out of mind, it's considered to be muktzah leaving.
That was if it was done on Shabbos, you could do that on Shabbos?
Well, that's a question, whether there's a deal, didn't, called yesh muktzah lechatzi Shabbat, that we'll see later, it's a machlok. Boimine Rebbe Shimon bar Rebbe Mirev. Rebbe Shimon, Rebbe's son, asked his father, what would be the din about Patz'ilei Timara le Rebbe Shimon. Now over here, Patz'ilei Timara are the opposite of Tzimukim. What you do with Tzimukim is that you take something that is currently edible, you put it in the sun in order to dry out and now to be preserved. Over here you take unripe dates, you put them in these baskets that are made out of date products, you know, woven lulav and so on, and you let them sit there to ripen in the basket. So currently, they're not completely edible, and you'd like them to fill completely and to be now ripe in the basket. But maybe that's like the tzimukim, being, as you've set them aside in the basket to ripen, that's the equivalent of putting them on the roof to dry. Or do we say that over here it's continuing the same process of bishul, which was before, and you could have eaten them now? And Rebbe answered, look, listen here, Ein muktzil Rebbe Shimon ela grogrot betzimukim bilvad. It's only that case, which is that not only does it go through the phase in which it's not roi, but you are also docha b'yadayim, and you have therefore two elements. You don't have those two elements over here, even though you put them away in the basket. There's no interim stage.
Were they roi l'achila before you put them in the
basket? Yeah, it could be eaten now. So, about tanan. Wait, are we saying now that, I mean, I assume this was not a theoretical discussion. I mean, if Rebbe's son is asking him what the din is about eating these dates, it must be that Rebbe himself agrees that Alok is like Rebbe Shimon. I mean, otherwise, what are we talking about, this little household communication here? So you're telling me, therefore, Rebbe doesn't hold a muktzah, right? Again, when we say doesn't hold a muktzah, we mean always, when you're pasuk like Rebbe Shimon and muktzah, it means you don't hold a muktzah. Now what we call muktzah? What we call muktzah is alibet Rebbe Shimon. Let's say muktzah means this idea of muktzah, something that becomes muktzah all on its own and can't be moved at all, and so on. That it becomes the equivalent of a stone that you're not allowed to do anything with. Does he hold that? But, I mean, doesn't it say beferish vatznad? Ein mashkin v'shoftin et hamidbariyot, avo mashkin v'shochatin et habayatot. So the question is, what happens on a chag when you have animals that come, you know, you're allowed to do shkita and so on, but what happens if an animal, which is very common, you have animals that are left to graze all summer, and basically you're not going to think about using them for food because you never see them. They're completely set aside to go grazing, and they pasture all through the summer and they get fat, and then you'll use them. So here the Mishnah says that when it comes to Yontif, and before doing Shchita, by the way, seems to be one of these slow days here. Maybe wait, there's a Russian lady that plays violin outside. Yeah. I mean, there's certain days where it would just be so nice to have, you know, maybe some Schumann lullabies. Or maybe it's the hum. I think it might be the hum of the fan. But there's definitely this very mellow feeling in the room. Virginia, what have you been putting in those cups? All right, I try again. The norm before Shchita was to give a last request
to
the cow. And the last request would be a good drink before the end. Now, this was actually a cynical move, because the good drink before the end allowed you to skin the cow better. Of course, the poor cow didn't know that. So it's drinking. So now it says in the Mishnah, you don't give that drink or sheft midbariot, which are animals that are left in the midbars, in the wilderness. Do not confuse the word midbar with the English word desert. It's not the same. This is a very profound misconception. And midbar simply means a place where people are not settled. It has nothing to do with rainfall. But shochatin et abayatot. You could be mashkin and shochet animals. Who live in the house. The Tanya. Now the Braisa explains, what do we mean when we say midbariot and bayatot? So Elo he midbariyot. What are called midbariyot? Koshi yotzot Pesach, minyat rasot bravia. Look, you let them out to the wild Pesach time, and they come back in when the start of the rainy season. So you don't see them for months on end. Bayatot, those are animals that go out to graze, and they come back at night. So koshi yotzot v'rolot zchutzlatchum, v'baot v'lanot betochatchum, like those svat cows. They go out in the morning, walk all the way down to Amuka, have a lot of fun, and then at night you can see them coming back in all on their own. Nobody bothers them. They're on a very nice schedule, day after day. So that's called Bayatot. Rebbe says, and here's our problem, is that it's Rebbe who's making this psak over here. Rebbe Omer, Elu ve'elu Bayatot. Nah, even if they go out for 6 months at a time to graze and you never see him. That's called Beit Tit. When we're talking about Midbariot, we're talking about feral cows. The kind that will eat you up if you're not careful. They never come into town. They never come into the Yishuv. You'll notice that those Tzfat cows, when they run out of food, they're walking through the main streets looking for the garbage pails. You know that? You remember, Richie? In the snow, what was going on? Traffic was totally snowed. These cows had nothing to eat. They invaded the town. And they decided they're going to go wild. So, if they don't come into town, fine. Then they're considered to be Midbariot. So now here you've got Rebbe himself, who clearly is saying that something that you don't have in mind is considered to be Muksa. I don't get it. And you just said he passes like Rebbe Shimon. But I assume if you were asking him, I'll leave it to Rebbe Shimon, he passes like Rebbe Shimon. So why over here is he saying, well, now if you're coming to Shech, obviously it's got to be Mukhan, I'll leave it to Rebbe Yehuda. And what is Mukhan Libra Rabbi Yehuda? Well, let's discuss that. Does it have to come in every night? Does it come in during the winter? Or even not? I mean, so what? How do you explain that? Well, I got a number of possibilities. Ibais Ema, one possibility is that I can look at the Midbariot as the equivalent of Grogrot Vatsimukim Danya. Because the truth is, once I let these out to graze, I'm not going to find them again.
Found me.
You don't go very far. And when you do, when you do, I follow. So the Shiloh over here is the same way that the Grogrot V'tzimukim are basically unusable to you during that interim period. In a sense, those cows are unusable to you. Because even if you make up your mind that you'd like to shecht one, where are you going to find it? I mean, you're going to have to go. You're going to go on a two-day tour to try to find out where your particular cow is at this time. So for all intents and purposes, we may view this as a dichui biyadayim in which it becomes unusable. So it's the same as Grogrot V'tzimukim. So that's one possibility. Again, it's not exactly the same, so we're offering this only as a possibility, because it's Ibayit Ema, because the Grogrot V'tzimukim are truly, because of themselves, unusable. Mashenken over here, the Dichu B'yadayim is unusable only because of the question of how much tircha I'm willing to take to use. It's not quite the same. But you could see that maybe Rebbe Shimon would be Moda in this case, and therefore Rebbe here too was going, I'll leave it to Rebbe Shimon. That's one possibility.
These animals never come back?
What's that?
They never come back?
They never come back.
Rebbe wants to find a road to Chalmim, and like...
Yeah, he agrees.
That's what they're still considered owned by you?
They're wild.
Yeah, sure they're owned by you. They got my brand in it.
Even though they never come back on a
single... It says Fox's Ben right on the thing.
They never come back unless you go...
Well, that's why I own a helicopter. Because they're the first Texas ranchers.
Nowadays you can put a chip in their ear.
That's right, they do, actually. Yeah.
Wasn't
Right, this is a mostly issue at all. Why can't it be a Seda issue? The reason you can't do it is because it's hot. You're out wild.
No. Because it's a domesticated animal. It's not shy of the Seda. It's considered to be nitzod, even though it's out. It's not really feral. I was joking.
But it's out 6 months. It's not
a Seda. No. It doesn't run away from me. It's just happy grazing. It might even smile when it sees me.
It sounds like you're talking about a teenager.
No, a teenager is
sad.
So the Vibarius is also considered domesticated.
Yeah. So that's one approach. Ibrais Ema, we could say that when Rebbe answered the question about the Patzile Tamara, he didn't mean to imply that he agrees that that's the halacha. They were having a theoretical discussion. And maybe his son asked him, what would the din be, Alib de Rebbe Shimon, for Patzile Tamara? And he told him that Patzile Tamara are not the same as Gorgot Vatzimukim. So it was Alib is Lidvar de Rebbe Shimon Karmarle. It doesn't mean that he agrees with it. Leilot Svirle, but Rebbe himself didn't agree with that. Or maybe, the latter case in the Braita of the Midbariot and so on, maybe he was only talking to the Chachamim according to their Shita. In other words, maybe what he was saying was like this. Look, frankly to me it doesn't make any difference. I don't care if they're Midbariot, they're Baitot, I mean whatever. You guys who hold the halakhas like Rabbi Yehuda, and you're defining Midbariot and Baitot in this way. Ah, come on. I mean, isn't that going a little bit too far? I mean, at least agree with me. At least he did lately move to claw. Look, I'm not going to argue with you about this. I've talked myself blue on the subject. You still insist that you come out looking like Rabbi Yehuda, fine. But at least, Liditru, Odulumiyat, at least agree to me about a case where Echad Yotzot with Pesach and Echad Asot for Rivia. I mean, these things positively are living in your living room if they come back after 6 months. So Memela, that should be considered to be Baitot, not Midbariot. And the Rabbanan say, no, nonetheless, we're going to be machmer even on such a case that they're considered to be Midbariot. So we have three possibilities, according to two of which, Rebbe still comes out holding like Rebbe Shimon. Are we clear about this? Okay. Omar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Omar Rebbe Yochanan, Amru Halakach Rebbe Shimon, they say, oh boy, one of those. They say, once the Gemara starts talking about the proverbial they, we're in big trouble. Because they say an awful lot of things that. So, they sure do. So, they say that the halacha is like Rebbe Shimon. Now, we thought that means that Rebbe Yochanan was going in for the they say. You know, they say, I mean, they said that the bell sucked, so it must be that it's true. So, Umi Om Rebbe Yochanan, okay, did Rebbe Yochanan say that? Ahu Saba, Koruya, Amalei Saruya, there was this old man who was a Korean, some say he was a Syrian, whatever. He asked Rabbi Yochanan, whether Kina Shel Tarnagoli, Mala Tiltula B'Shabbos, can I carry one of those, you know, little coops, little cage for Tarnagolim on Shabbos? Omalein, Rabbi Yochanan said to him, well, Kluma Osu Yela Tarnagoli, aren't those just made for Tarnagols? How are you going to use it? We'll see what he actually meant. So now, what's the problem? If according to Rabbi Yochanan, we hold of Rabbi Shimon, because they say halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, why is there a problem of moving these Korean tarnagels? I mean, it's not muktzik, because Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold a muktzik. So why was he saying, what do you mean? I thought that's made for tarnagolim. Why would you be using it? That's a nice argument for Rabbi Yehuda, but it's a meaningless statement. I'll leave it to Rabbi Shimon. No, we're talking about over here. It has a dead Ephroach mate in it. Has a dead Ephroach, and that's what he meant. What he said was, I mean, isn't that something where Tarnagolim? I mean, you'll find anything in there. I mean, it's probably stuff there that's mukta. So that would be true even according to Rabbi Shimon. Now. That's not so clear. Whatever. No, you want to use it because your kids are putting on a little show this Shabbos, and you want to make a stage out of them. So, hey, Nikola Marbara Mema, this is all very nice, according to Marbara Mema, who quotes Rabba, saying that Moda Hoy Rabbi Shimon Babalechaim Shemetu Shasuri. But even Rabbi Shimon is Moda. Now, even though Lamaisa, one of the model cases of Rabbi Aaron, you don't look happy this morning. This sugya is enough to make anybody happy. So, even though Rabbi Shimon is his model case is mechatzkin et hanevela lifnei haklavim, means you can cut up a dead animal and you can feed it to the dog. Obviously, I mean, what are you telling me that he's moda balechayim shemesim, that a muktzah? How could you cut up a dead animal that died on Shabbos? So there, the Gemara is a mechalik between an animal that was ill and was daitei aluya that it wasn't going to survive. So over there, that sucks to be muktzah. But what Rabba was saying over here is that Rabbi Shimon is made if something died without your seeing it before Shabbos and having in mind to use it as dog food, that lamaisa, it would be muktzah. Okay, if you hold of that, then we could understand why Rabbi Yochanan made this comment. I thought that that's meant for the birds. That's where that statement comes from.
For the birds?
It's, yeah. That's for the birds, isn't it? That's for the birds. It means you can't use it on Shabbos, essentially. But it was only said, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda, the way the Gemara is having me away.
I didn't catch that.
You've never heard that it's for the birds? Somebody wants to tell you something is useless, and that's for the birds. Why would they say it's for the birds? Why not it's for the monkeys? Why not? Because of this circuit. Yeah. Here he asked him, can I use this for my kids? And I said, no, it's for the birds. Corny jokes don't go over this. All right. So, if you hold that what he meant when he said it's for the birds, he meant there's going to be dead birds and it's this, you can't use it. Fine. That's only true if he holds that a dead bird is usher. But according to Marbred Rabbi Yosef Bishmei Nerava, who holds that Chaluka Yerabi Shimon Afilim Abale Chayim Shemetu Shem Mutarim, that actually Rabbi Shimon holds even Balei Chaim that died are considered to be mutter, even though it wasn't died to Elui Mibayon. So what are you going to say, Michael and Mima?
Would it be the dead animal itself or the thing that's carrying it? Or I guess it would be the deceased.
For sure. The case over here is that it has a newly laid egg, and Rabbi Shimon is made that nolad is asur. So even though muktzah is not, but nolad is a step above because it wasn't here at all, and therefore he was saying, isn't this for the birds? Meaning that it will have eggs in it. What?
Dying, isn't
that no, not necessarily,
he's
because
alive and now he's dead.
Yeah, but maybe that's not called nolad. That depends on whether we hold that something alive is a made for Achilat's clothing, which is a different issue, which let's not get into. But if it wasn't here, we will later, but not yet. But if it's something it wasn't here at all, then it's then it should be nolad. I the Amar of Nachman, I thought Reb Nachman said man to eat le mukta eat le nolad. Manda letle muktzah letle nolad. You're assuming that Rabbi Shimon, who doesn't hold the muktzah, would still hold it as a din of nolad, which is more than muktzah. Rav Nachman reports that the din of nolad and muktzah are precisely the same. If you don't hold the muktzah, then you don't hold the nolad. So what are you telling me? The reason that Rabbi Shimon would agree in this case that it's usur is because there's nolad in it. But he doesn't hold the muktzah. Why would he hold the nolad? Well, you're right. Okay. You know what it's talking about? It's talking about the Itle Beitzat Ephroa. Point over here is that it has an egg in it which contains a dead embryo. So there's a chick in the egg. You can't even use this for dog food because the dog is not going to eat it because of the shells. And therefore, it's totally usur here. Wow. Here Rabbi Yochanan is quoted as saying Alokas Rabbi Yehuda, even though he just said they say Alokas like Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehoshua and Levi on Alok Rabbi Shimon. Omer Reb Yosef, Reb Yosef. And now I understand. I'm the Omer Rabba Bar Rabban Omer Reb Yochanan. They said this over such a funny way, and I never caught what it meant. That Reb Yochanan was reported as having said that they say that Allah is Rabbi Shimon, meaning that's the pshat. Omru, they say, and certainly it's not true. Velelo Sphirolay, if you hold to something, you don't say they say. You say, Allah is like Rabbi Shimon. So it must mean that he doesn't hold of it, and that's why he's putting it down by saying, well, they say. What that means. Omale Abaya le Rabbi Yosef. Abaya said to Rabbi Yosef, I don't understand. It took you this now to hear that Rabbi Yochanan is passing like Rabbi Yehuda? And until now you didn't chop that he didn't hold of Rabbi Shimon? Va'at lo tizbra, the Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yehuda, you didn't understand yourself before you heard this Rabbi Yitzchak's fit, that he couldn't possibly have held like Rabbi Shimon. There was a famous maysa where Rabbi Abba and Rabbi Asi came to Rabbi Abba min Haifa's house. And there was poor Rabbi Asi who had put down his jacket on the couch, and the lamp falls on his jacket. Oy, ba, boy. So the nafa minarta aglimi de Rav Asi, the lo tiltala. Rav Asi did not move his jacket. And the question is, I mean, why couldn't he move his jacket? Be minar the menorah, and so on and so forth. That's different approaches. Some learn that he was chasal a menorah. And he was afraid he would break it. He didn't want to move it. So the poor guy had to go to davening without his jacket, which ruined his career. It was a disaster. That's how everybody knows this maysa. You don't know this maysa. So why was it then that such a terrible thing should have happened? Must be because Rav Asi was a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan Pasuk is like Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore he held that the menorah was mufsa. Because according to Rabbi Shimon, what's the problem? Why can't I move the menorah off the jacket? You just go pick it up and put it aside. It must be therefore that Rabbi Yochanan held like Rabbi Yehuda, really. He's like mufsa. Omarlei. So he said to him, you're talking about that famous case? The menorah case? Oh boy. Menarta Karma, that case is different. Menarta shining. The Omer of Akaba, Chanina Omer of Asi, Hora Reish Lokish Bet Sidon, Minoran, he tell it, Biado Achat Muntar Letaltala, Bishte Yadav Asur Letaltala, Rabbi Yochanan Omar Ono Enono Ela Bener to Rabbi Shimon, Abo Menora, Benit La Biado Achat, Benit La Bishte Yadav, Asur Letaltala. It's a fascinating din. So first they said, Reish Lakish in Sidon said that any menorah that is too heavy to be carried easily in one hand, and you would be careful to carry it in two hands, is clearly something that you don't want moving around on Shabbos lightly, and you would be koveya makom for it, you would set it aside. Sorry. That becomes now the equivalent of muktzah machmat chisaron kis. Anything that I am koveya, particular makom for, cannot be moved. And Rabbi Yochanan himself paskened that even though we hold the Rabbi Shimon in the dinim of Ner, Lagabe, Mius, and so on, but not when it comes to this. When it comes to a menorah, over there, even if it would be a one-handed menorah, it would be Aser. V'taima my why? Rabbi Rabbi Yozadam Tavayu, Ho'il Vatam Koveya Lamakon. Since this is something that people generally do not want carried around, and it's beautiful, it's decorative and expensive, that's something that is muksa on Shabbos, even if you hold of Rabbi Shimon when it comes to the din of Ner Cheres. So why are you bringing me a riot from Rabbi Asi that I am supposed to know because of the menorah, Maisa, that it must be that he held of Rabbi Yehuda? On the contrary, you hold of Rabbi Shimon, but by menorah you have a unique case. By menorah, you have a problem with muktzamachmas chisaron kis. Over there, maybe he would be modus, or Rabbi Asi didn't move it.
What's the difference
between two hands? Because something which moves with two hands, you're more careful with. It means that it's more easily dropped, and it's a... I mean, Rabbi Yochanan Leisa doesn't make that distinction, but that shows us what we're talking about. We're introducing now a new issue that we never introduced before. Because what we're talking about over here is, since muktzah involves the movement of a thing from its place, until now we've been talking about muktzah in terms of your mind to use it. But a new concept of muktzah, which is a thing that is meant to remain where it is, forget about whether you're going to use it. That's not the point. Cannot be moved because it's meant to be where it is. It's a whole new idea. It's not its use. That's the question here. It's the kriyat makom that we're defining. That now introduces now on this daf a new sugya we didn't think about before. So let's just think about the new issues that have been introduced today. The new issues are this concept of kriyat makom, which turns into an idea of muktzah machmat chisaron kis, which has a new elements in it. We haven't yet seen it evolve in that fashion. And we've spoken about a new idea of being mikatseya midatcha, something which will go through a phase in which it's not usable. And we've seen that Rabbi Shimon is moda even to that, even where it's usable. So an itkatsoy midaitei alibit Rabbi Shimon, which is both active, mental, and also objective. Because it has an objective component, such as the tzimukim and the grogrot. We have a new muktzah that Rabbi Shimon is moda to, which is active muktzah. Okay. Daf mem hei. The Rav Rav Yudah Svirle. Vobo minei de Rav mal le tortule shraga de Chanukata mikame chaveri b'shav Shabbata. Vomar lo hu shakir nami. That's because it's Shabbat Chag, Shaini. The Amalei Rav Kana Rav Asher Rav. Achi Yochata. Amalei. Yeah. In this case, Kedai Rav Shimon. This is Bechalat B'Shabbat. Chag. Boy, Mina Rav Shlokish Mina Rav Yochana. Chitim Shezaran Bekarka. Ubeitim Shetachat Atarnagolet. Ma. Ki Letle Le Rav Shimon Muktzeh Lo Dachi B'Yadayim. Aval Eche De Dachi B'Yadayim Itle Muktzeh. Odi Amalei Shna. Amalei Ein Muktzeh Le Rav Shimon. In something that's roy to use, ela shemen shebener b'sha'ashu hu dolek, hoyel v'huktzel mitzvato v'huktzel yisro. What? And just huktzel mitzvato he wouldn't hold up? V'atanya sichecha kiel kata, v'itera b'kramim v'besadinim ha-metzuyarim, v'tala ba'egozim, ha-farsakim, shkedim, rimonim, ha-farchalei anavim, atarot shibolim, yenot shmanim v'svatot, אסור להסתפק מענת מצוי יום טוב האחרון ואם יתנע עליהם הכל לפיץ נאו. Well, that's beautiful, but be my the Rebbe Shimoni. The Tony Rebbe here by Yosef Kamei Rebbe Yochanan אין נוטלין עצים מן הסוכה ביום טוב אלא מן הסמוך לה ורבי שמעון מתיר ושווין בסוכת החג בחג שהיא אסורה ואם יתנע עליה הכל לפיץ נאו. Well, כאין שמן שבנר כאמין Ayochel ba'anabim v'otir meyem ve'alan legag la'asod meyem v'tzimukim lo yofal ach yasmin. Hey, and look at the next words v'tein haton there v'afarsakim v'chavushim u'b'shar kol minei perot. Now money ilay merebi yudah, what's the chiddush? Ma'echad lo dachi b'yadayim itlay muktzah echad dachi b'yadayim lo kosh, okay? Ela lav rebi shima. And it's not because the tzimukim and the grogrot go rotten in the middle. Now the olam it is Rav Yudah. The chiddush is ochel it strichale, rather ochel, not ochel. Ochel it strichale. Sal kadate chamina kivun deka achil v'azio loli boy hazmana. Kamashron that nonetheless kivun de'alan lagag asuch yaskel adaita minar, and either he'll have kavanah to eat it the ferish of hazmana or not. Boy minay Rav Shimon bar Rabbi Mirab. Patz ilait mara l'Rabbi Shimon ma. Omar le ein muktzah l'Rabbi Shimon which means, in other words, that Rebbe agrees with Rebbe Shimon and let lay mukta, but none ain mashkin v'shochatin on yontev et hamidbariot aval mashkin v'shochatin et habayatot v'tanya eloi midbariot koshi yotzot v'pesach v'nechanasot v'reviyah bayatot koshi yotzot v'ro'ot chutz v'tchum u'ba'ot v'lonot v'toch atchum. And here's the piece for us. Rebbe Omer elo ve'elo bayatot ein ve'elo ein midbariot, only those that are ro'ot v'efer ve'ein nichnasot v'yishuv at all lo b'imot ha'chamah. So obviously he holds it's osur to shecht on yantav if it's eno min amuchah, just like Rav Yudah, not like Rav Shimon. Well, maybe by tema aninami kegogot v'tzimukim dami. Ibai tema, maybe when he paskened over there about v'patzile tomorrow, he meant if you hold like Rav Shimon kamale, but he himself lelo sphirale. Or possibly by tema, this business about the Shech the Ganyantav, he also didn't hold up personally. He was saying, L'divrayem l'rabbanan b'karma. I said, look, L'divi makes a difference, because L'divi mukzik flaw. But L'divchu, at least agree, Odali miyad, the hecha, the yotzot, the pesach, and the ganosot, the revia, that's not even called minbario. That's called bayatot, you know. And the rabbanan say, no, that's minbario. Amar rabba barbachanam rabbi yochanan, amru halokach rabbi shimon. Really? The Amr of Yotan Achim? That the halakha is like Rabbi Shimon? For boy minay ahu sabah Korean, v'amil ha-sarean, mir Rabbi Yochanan, kina shal tarnagolet, mal v'totuli v'shabat, om alei, klum asui, hello the tarnagolim. What's that mean according to Rabbi Shimon? Achmai eskinan, d'ipe afroach meit. Well, it's only lamar baram imar, mishmei derova, that mode of Rabbi Shimon, balekhaim shemeit, shester. But what if you're the marbarator of Yosef? Mishmeid Rav, who holds that Chaluk Ayir Rabbi Shimon Afi who Balei Chaim Shemeitu. So what would be then over there? He holds that they're mutarim. Michael Amima, how come my askinan that he eat beitza? So, because what? Because it's nola. Omer of Nachman man di itle muktza itle nola, but man the letle muktza, namely Rabbi Shimon, letle nola either. Okay, it's talking about it's a beitza tefroah, and they're completely unusable. Kiyata Rabbi Yitzchak by Yosef on Rabbi Yochanan halachic Rabbi Yuda, Rabbi Yishuv and Levi on halachic Rabbi Shimon, Omer Rabbi Yosef. Oh, Heinad Omer Rabba Barbachanan Rabbi Yochanan Amru halachic Rabbi Shimon. That's what he meant. Amru, but he holds personally halachic Rabbi Yuda, unless you're saying Rabbi Yitzchak. Omer Abayel Rabbi Yosef. What? Before Rabbi Yitzchak came along, you couldn't figure that out. Ba'at lo tizba the Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Yuda. Ha Rabava. And Rabasi came to Rabava in Haifa, v'nocha manata aglima de Rabasi, v'lo tiltala. My time alam mishum de Rabasi tamid Rabbi Yochanan Avi, and Rabbi Yochanan was a Rabbi Yehuda. Disle mukza. I'm like, no. Manata kamet, it's a special case, manata shayi. V'om Rabaka barchanin, om Rabasi, ora reshlokish betzidon, minora hanitelet biyado achat mutalet atama. Shtei yadav asur letalta. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Anu in lana v'nerik Rabbi Shimon. But menorah ben yitalat v'yadav achat ben yitalat v'shtei yadav asur letalta. Why is that? Taim amai Rabbi Yosef Retavayu u'il v'adam kovea la makom.
That was easy. Segregation. How could the five of them